TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Dr. John Campbell on COVID-19 and air pollution. When in the last days of May 2020, several respected institutions, such as the Harvard School of Public Health and the All-Party Group on Air Pollution in the UK, came up with strong emerging evidence that air pollution makes a major contribution in the spread of COVID-19, Dr. John Campbell took a closer look. Outdoor air pollution already kills 4.2 million people per year in the world. Dr. John Campbell is a retired nurse teacher in England. He has gone through rigorous scientific training. Since the beginning of the pandemic, he has walked into his study once or even twice a day and turned the camera on for his welcome and given updates on COVID-19. They are archived on his YouTube channel under Campbell Teaching. Always friendly, personal, with the scientific sources for his topics displayed on handmade slides, he explains complicated processes in no-nonsense practical terms. For his review of the effects of air pollution, he had brought a DVD disc, and in a moment he will breathe on it and hold the silver surface up to the camera to make a point. He is Dr. John Campbell.
Welcome to this video, and today we want to think about the effects of air pollution. And there's strong emerging evidence now that air pollution is a major contributing factor to the spread of COVID-19. And it does this in two ways. Firstly, there's an acute effect if people are breathing in polluted air now and over the past few days. And this is actually somewhat analogous to smoking, and we looked at the evidence for current smokers having perhaps more infection risk and certainly getting more severe disease. So one effect of this acute effect that we see. But then there's a chronic effect where people have been exposed to polluted environments for years, and that started to cause heart disease and respiratory disease. So the bottom line of this video is that I believe there's a fairly strong correlation between more polluted areas and more severe cases of COVID-19 infection and indeed deaths. So that's the bottom line of this video. We need to clean the air up because air pollution seems to be a big factor. So that's the bottom line. Now, what I want to show you is I've got my little DVD thing here. Look, so you can see the mist from my breath on that. So what you're seeing there is there are all the millions of little droplets out of my air. And if I was infected with COVID-19, those droplets may be only a micron or two in diameter, a thousandth of a millimeter or two in diameter, are going to carry the virus from me into your lungs. So those little droplets of water, those minuscule, minute droplets of water, are what's actually carrying the virus from me as an infected person into your lungs as a non-infected person. That's how the virus is getting there for most of the time. And it seems that air pollution does a very similar thing. It seems that the virus attaches onto small particles in the air, small polluting particles called microparticulates. And from there, we breathe it right down into the lungs and right down into the alveoli. Though this is looking like a significant method of spread and something that makes the disease more severe. This is not me speculating or thinking out loud. This is all based on evidence. Now, the first thing I want to look at, this is from the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Air Pollution in the UK. You can look at the reference there. Now, 80% of people in urban areas in the UK are exposed to higher levels of pollution than the World Health Organization limits. So the UK is a polluted country, especially the urban areas, and our many areas and cities around the world as well. And of course, when we look at where the epicentres of COVID-19 has begun, it's typically in urban areas, such as London, such as New York, such as Wuhan, which is also a polluted city. 40,000 deaths a year in the UK from air pollution. It's just unbelievable. That's 25.7 people per 100,000 per year. Now, in Sweden, it's not 25.7 people dying per 100,000 per year from air pollution. It's 0.4. So I think it's fair to say that Sweden is doing somewhat better than the UK in terms of air pollution, morbidity and mortality. Air pollution is strongly linked to cancer, heart disease and strokes. And it affects the vulnerable and the poorest people. So it's very often people in the more impoverished stratas of society that are more exposed to air pollution. Rich people that can afford nice leafy suburban mansions and country estates don't really have the problem as much. It's more poorer people in inner city areas. And this is particularly concerning. Children are 11% more exposed for the same amount of air pollution. And this is because the volume of their lungs is greater compared to the volume of their whole body. So they've got less body mass to dilute the pollution in. Right, further evidence. This is from the British Heart Foundation. Excellent research charity in the UK looking at heart disease. Check the reference for yourself. Talking about microparticulates. Now what happens is, let me tell you, these microparticulates, PM2.5, smaller than 2.5 microns in diameter, when you breathe them in air pollution, they just go straight down to the alveoli, straight down to the bottom of your lungs, straight down to the smallest air spaces in the lungs. Now, if you're doing a dusty job, say you're knocking down a wall in the house or something, those dust particles are actually quite big. Or if you're driving down a dusty road or something, then your nose and your upper airway will filter out most of those large particles. But the PM2.5s, artificially made, for example, in diesel smoke, they are so small, they go straight down into the bottom of the lungs. And from the alveoli, from these air sacs, they're able to get through into the blood. So these particles, smaller than 2.5 microns, go from the air directly into the blood, into the circulatory system. And so you end up with these microparticulates all around the body. Horrific when you think about it in those terms. So the diesel pollution goes from the air into your lungs, through into your blood, and you end up with these little smoke particles all around your body. This is absolutely true. And these have been demonstrated by pathologists. This is all accepted science. But what did surprise me from the British Heart Foundation is these particles remain in the bloodstream for 3 months. And they worsen the build-up of atheroma. Now, atheroma is the fatty material that accumulates inside our arteries and causes the most is the most common cause of heart disease and strokes. So it worsens the build-up of that because it causes inflammation and it affects the normal electrical functioning of the heart as well, causing abnormal heart rhythms. So this can lead to heart attacks and strokes. This can lead to death and abnormal heart rhythms. Because these particulates get there, they get into the arteries, they get into the veins, they get into the heart itself. They're not supposed to be there, so they cause an inflammatory response, and that's what causes the disease. So this is really serious. These microparticulates get everywhere. And of course, we know that heart disease is strongly associated with a morbidity risk for COVID-19 severe disease. So no surprises, it all makes sense. So this all-party parliamentary group of MPs. Now, the good thing about these APPGs, as they're called, are all-party parliamentary group of MPs. Not the MPs. MPs tend to be a bit, you get the odd MP that's fairly smart, but, you know, a lot of them tend to be non-technical, non-medical, non-scientific people. I mean, I suppose they can be smart in their own terms. But what they can, you get a few doctors and scientists that are nurses that are MPs, so it's not all bad. But what it means is they can recruit the very best scientific brains in the country. And what MPs are very good at is putting this information together, fitting it all together, taking from this expert and that expert and saying, OK, then that probably means this. So they're very good at that. So we'll give them some credit. Right. So this group is saying it's not so much this group. They're reflecting the consensus of environmental scientific opinion here. It is increasingly likely that air pollution increases vulnerability to COVID-19 infection. Interesting. So they're saying not only are you more likely to get more severe disease, you're more likely to get infected in the first place if you live in a polluted area. Short-term exposure of airway cells to microparticulates causes a highly significant increase in the number of the ACE2 receptors. Now, I don't know the mechanism here. I assume what it is, it's inflammation. So when there's an inflammatory reaction going on in the small airways, that increases the expression of the ACE2 receptors. And remember, the ACE2 receptors are the main way that the virus gets in to the body to cause the infection in the first place. So the increase in the number of ACE2 receptors, that would explain quite neatly, actually, the increased risk of infection. Makes perfect sense. Coronaviruses have been detected on particles of air pollution. So this isn't speculation. The scientists have found the viral particles on particles of air pollution, just as the same that it's been found in particles of breath. So the virus can get into the lungs and particles of air pollution just the same as it can on particles of someone's exhaled air. And there's correlation between air pollution and death rates from COVID-19 in different parts of the country and in different parts of the world. So if you live in a more polluted area, you're more likely to get COVID-19 and you're more likely to get severe COVID-19. More evidence for that coming up, because the part of the reason I like this is it's consistent all around the world. Air pollution and COVID-19 are even more dangerous together. So if you get COVID-19 and you live in a polluted area, you're more likely to get severe disease, according to the experts collated by the all-party parliamentary group. Quite significant findings, really. Now, another study. This is actually a compilation by the BBC. How air pollution exacerbates COVID-19. Outdoor pollution kills 4.2 million people per year in the world. Quite incredible. But if you spent any time in Indian cities, you'll appreciate that. They are very polluted, as are Chinese cities. Now, that's just outdoor pollution. What I've found, actually, working in some poorer parts of the world, Nepal, for example, where the outdoor pollution is fairly minimal in the country areas, but people burn fires in the house for cooking. So they also have chronic bronchitis, emphysema, heart disease, all that sort of thing from indoor pollution. But this is talking about outdoor pollution. Kills 4.2 million people per year. Predisposing the people who've lived with pollution for years. So in other words, people that have been exposed to pollution for years get the chronic effects that predispose them to infection and more severe disease. And particulates may be acting as vehicles for viral transmission. So that is an acute effect. It's an acute effect. So the virus is getting right down into the lungs as it hitches a ride on particles of pollution. And the thing is, these microparticulate 2.5s, they've got just enough momentum to carry the virus all the way down. But they're just too small for the respiratory tract to be able to filter them out. So they just fly past the cilia and the mucus and all the natural defence mechanisms because they're so tiny. So these things are pretty well, you know, down at the size of bacterial level, 2.5 micrometres. The red blood cells are about 7 micrometres and the bacteria are about 1 micrometre in diameter. The virus, of course, is 10 times smaller than that. So the virus hitches a lift on these microparticulate 2.5s. And these microparticulates 2.5 offer it a very convenient lift all the way down into your airways where it causes infection. This is what seems to be happening. Now, more evidence. Harvard School of Public Health have looked at. Now, to be fair, I'm going to try and be fair here. This paper from the Harvard School of Public Health is not yet peer reviewed. But I've read it and it looks pretty good to me. Not that I'm saying I'm a peer of Harvard Public Health, I'm not. But I've read it and it looks pretty good to me. So I suspect the peer review will pass that paper. In fact, I'm pretty certain about that. It's a very good paper. 3,080 counties in the United States. They examined 3,080 counties in the United States. People that have had long-term pollution exposure for 15 to 20 years had significantly higher mortality rates from COVID-19. So, yes, they'd have higher mortality rates anyway because they've developed these diseases, the heart disease and the lung disease. But when they got infected with COVID-19, their mortality rates were higher. because it's affecting the lungs, of course. And what a lot of people don't know is these microparticulates go straight through the lungs, into the blood vessels, into the heart, and circulate around the body because they're so small, they can just get everywhere. This is why diesel smoke, for example, is so dangerous. It gets right to your heart, right inside. Air pollution reduces immunity as well. So the Harvard study said that air pollution reduces the immunity. And that is in agreement with the European Alliance of Public Health. I mean, these are the most prestigious bodies in the world. You know, we've got Harvard School of Public Health. We've got the European Alliance of Public Health. They agree that air pollution reduces immunity. So the Harvard study says that air pollution has an outsized effect in the US. And they were actually able to quantify this. This is impressive. It's impressive science, but it's also alarming. An increase in 1 microgram. So 1 microgram, that's 1,000th of a milligram per cubic meter of air that people breathe. So an increase of 1 microgram of microparticulates per cubic meter corresponds to a 15% increase in COVID deaths. This is the correlation they have discovered. Does this correlation prove that it's causal? Does this prove that microparticulates are causing the increased risk of death in COVID-19? No, it doesn't. But it's a strong correlation and it makes a lot of scientific sense. So it may well turn out to be the case. Can I tell you it's the case now? No, I can tell you it's a strong correlation. US Environmental Protection Agency limit. So just by comparison, so an increase of 1 microgram of microparticulates per cubic meter of air, 15% increase. But the US Environmental Protection Agency say the safe limit for microparticulates, PM2.5s, is 12 micrograms per cubic meter. So can you see that the US figure that they say is safe turns out not to be safe? This figure is far too tolerant of air pollution. Likewise, the World Health Organization, they give a figure of 10 micrograms per cubic meter as being safe. Again, turns out they're wrong, because 1 microgram, a tenth of that, will increase morbidity, death by 15%, according to this correlation. So people around the world, what this means, people around the world, including the US Environmental Protection Agency, including the World Health Organization, if you're listening, I'm sure you're not, but if you are, you've got your values wrong. These substances are more toxic than you had thought. Time to revise these guidelines down. New York, of course, was the epicenter, and surprise, surprise, the pollution there is above the safe limit. And they had more deaths. Coincidence? Don't think so. Were there other factors as well? Of course. Of course. Is this a significant factor? It's starting to look like it. Can atmospheric pollution be considered as a cofactor in extremely high level of SARS coronavirus 2 lethality in northern Italy? So again, this is an Italian study here, of publications here. What they found in northern Italy, and of course northern Italy is the more industrial area of Italy, polluted areas, there was more chronic respiratory conditions, of course, we know that. No one particularly cares, it doesn't seem to matter, but we do know that. More polluted areas, more chronic respiratory conditions. It's a pity people don't care, because this means that people get chronic respiratory conditions, which are not nice to live with and can kill you. It can cause chronic inflammation even in the young and healthy. So again, we've got this effect of the inflammation. The pollutants are down there. They shouldn't be there. So the body causes inflammation, and chronic inflammation is associated with disease of the lungs, such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, bronchitis, emphysema. These are all can all be traced pathologically back to inflammatory effects. Predisposes to a particular infection. So again, this study is saying, well, we get these chronic effects. Yeah, okay, we know that. But they're also saying you're more likely to get a particular infection if it's there. predisposes to a particular infection. And again, what they're saying, the Italian scientists, is there is a correlation between the hotspots for COVID-19 and the more polluted areas. So the more polluted areas are much more likely to be hotspots for COVID-19. The less polluted areas are less likely to be. It's a correlation that's been observed now throughout the United States and throughout Italy. Makes you start thinking that it's probably causal. Now, this is the last one. Air pollution and cases of fatality in SARS. Now, this was the SARS-1, the SARS coronavirus 1, and this was in the 2002 outbreak, which was studied quite extensively way back then. So this is another coronavirus, not the SARS coronavirus 2. This was SARS coronavirus 1. But there's a lot to learn from this because it's a very similar coronavirus. And studies in China on SARS coronavirus 1 in 2002, case fatality rate increased with air pollution index. So again, the higher the air pollution index, the more people died from SARS coronavirus 1 back in 2002. Moderate increase in air pollution index versus low air pollution index areas. So what they did here was they took areas with low air pollution and areas with what's described as moderate air pollution. And the difference there between areas of low air pollution and areas of moderate air pollution was an increase in deaths of 84% in the moderately polluted areas. So we're getting this picture emerging here that even small amounts of pollution can be taking the virus into the lungs, causing more infection, more severe infection, and feeding through into more deaths. And in this case, 84% more deaths, relative risk 1.84. Now, what they did then was they took high pollution areas and compared that to low pollution areas. And what they found in the high pollution areas, the death rate was more than double. Relative risk was 2.81 there. So more than double. Well over 100% increased risk between those in high pollution areas and those in low pollution areas. Pretty convincing correlations. Results were similar for short and long-term exposure in 2002. So again, we have this chronic effect and this acute effect, and this is completely consistent. This is completely consistent with the data that we're now collecting from the 2020 pandemic, 18 years later. And they also found correlations in this Chinese study with particulate matter, as we've discussed, but also sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, carbon monoxide, and ground level ozone, which are other things we don't want to be breathing into our lungs. So there's masses more data than this. I mean, I could have gone on prepping this for days. Basically, the evidence is there of these strong correlations. Now, it's hard to prove causality, but causality is looking very likely. The correlations are there in the epidemiological studies, and it makes perfect sense in the way we understand the way that these things cause inflammation, the way they cause death, the way they increase the number of ACE2 receptors. So what this means is reducing pollution has got to be part of our way out of this. Now, just before I finish, lockdown restrictions in Wuhan reduced air pollution by 44%. In Seoul, it was reduced by 54%, and in New Delhi, it was reduced by 60%. And I think even where I live, which isn't even a massive megacity, I'm sure it's reduced air pollution because the stars look clearer, the air's clearer, you can see the hills better. You know, we've just got less pollution. And what it means is we didn't realise how polluted our area was until you have reduced human polluting activity and you notice the difference. So great reductions in these areas. But of course, as the economy starts up again, everyone will just go back to normal and start belching out smoke and burning things in incinerators and stoking up wood-burning stoves and coal fires and diesel engines, petrol engines. Diesels are probably the worst. It's your decision. Do you want to go back to your normal polluted world and run greater risk of chronic disease and more risk of getting COVID-19 and more risk of dying, or would you rather not? You're free to choose that via your governments. Now, practically, Milan has just instigated an extra 45 kilometres of cycle track. And in Rome, they've closed off 150 kilometres of road lanes normally used by cars and earmarked those for scooters and bicycles. 150 kilometres. Now, this is a real win-win situation because if everyone crowds onto public transport, we've got guaranteed spread inside. But if everyone cycles to work in the fresh air, then the probability of catching it in the fresh air are maybe a million times less than catching it in the subway. Depending, of course, how polluted the air is. If the air's polluted, you increase your chances of catching it. It would appear from this data. So we really need to make this political decision, at least for a while, at least until we get rid of this pandemic. We need to keep polluting vehicles and incineration smoke and power station smoke and things out of cities. And we need to clean these areas up, clean all areas up. And that'll mean that people catch the virus less because they're out exposed to the outside. They're in very diluted outside air, virtually no chance of catching the virus. They're no longer inside, and we've reduced the pollution. So these pollution particles are not there to give the viral particles of COVID-19 a convenient lift right down into the bottom of your lungs. Now, not everyone can ride push bikes, of course, but you know, we could have electric bikes. You know, there's ways around this. If we decide to take them, we can choose to be more healthy or less healthy. It's up to you via your politicians to decide that. I know what I prefer.
That was Dr. John Campbell, former nurse teacher, now in retirement in Northern England. Since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, he has given updates once or even twice a day. There are now over 1,200 videos posted on his YouTube channel under Campbell Teaching. Only the recent entries are focused on COVID-19. Earlier videos cover open learning resources for nurses, nationally and internationally. He still teaches in Asia and Africa when time permits. Dr. John Campbell recorded this lesson on air pollution on May 31st, 2020. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. My name is Maria Glurden. Thank you for listening.